This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm very impressed with Colorado football because the Buffaloes are already bowl eligible. And it's Halloween and they got bowl eligibility last week with their victory over Cincinnati. So Coach Prime, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, they're rolling right now. So we will head out to Denver and we will talk to Ryan Konigsberg, who does a great job, host of the DNVR Buffs podcast. And he's kind enough to join us right now. I am wearing a Scooby-Dooby-Doo costume right now, Ryan. So I think this is the first time that you've done a Colorado interview while getting interviewed by Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, usually when people are talking about Colorado, they're wearing clown costumes.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jay Norvell probably, I don't have sunglasses on, but he probably wouldn't be happy with my attire with two grown men having a conversation about Colorado.
That is very true.
So let me just first discuss what happened last week. For them to already get to six wins and to just see the growth of this program over the last 2 years, how do you kind of put it into words what Dion, Coach Prime's been able to do the last 2 years with Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, to understand it whatsoever, you have to understand where this team came from. And like, I think you can hear the record 1-11 and hear, okay, they were really bad. But you had to see those games, and you have to understand that they lost those games by an average of over 29 points per game. They had seven games in that season that they lost by more than 30 points. They were not just bad. As far as I'm concerned, they're one of the worst teams in college football history at the Power Five level. And, you know, like I posted about this earlier this week, but like people who had season tickets for decades and decades were canceling. You know, it was bad, man. It was as bad as you can imagine it being for a fan base. And, you know, I posted at the time, like, this next hire is the most important hire in program history. They have to figure out a way to get back to relevancy during this time in college football where so much is changing and relevancy is so valuable considering all of the conference realignment and how this thing is eventually going to end up. And for Coach Prime to come in, flip that team from one win to four wins last year, which I think was frowned upon from everywhere outside of Boulder, but inside Boulder it was like, okay, like this is much better. Most of their losses were one score games. And then to go into this year, fill kind of a lot of the gaps on the offensive and defensive lines and put together like what is a real football team. Travis and Shedeur, rightfully so, get so many headlines, but this is a team that goes down the line and has players at every position. And, you know, Travis Hunter is injured against Arizona and barely plays the first half, doesn't play the second half. They're matched up against Tetero and McMillan, one of the best wide receivers in the country, and they bring in a guy who was only playing in dime packages in Colton Hood, and he goes out there and locks up Tetero and McMillan. He has like five catches in the game. So this is – they have depth. They have skill. They have, you know, line play. It's remarkable for them to be at this position after where they were 2 years ago.
So you touched on it. Last year they get off to that 3-0 start. And the expectations, I thought, got too big because going into the year last year, I thought they were only going to win four games. And they ended up doing that. But when you start out 3-0 and only win one game down the stretch, it is disappointing, even though those games were close. But going into this year with the changes, the way that they altered the roster and also, right, the entire coaching staff had their feet wet with being there for an entire year. What were you expecting with this team before the season started?
Yeah, I mean, I was higher on them than most, and there's still a chance that I end up being too low on them. I had them winning 9 games this year, and, you know, I thought seeing what they did in the trenches, being able to protect the quarterback like they have, which is much better than they did last year, adding LaJonte Wester at wide receiver, Will Shepard at wide receiver, and then, you know, at the time, hopefully a full year of Travis Hunter, which people forget, you know, he missed 3 sure. games last year and then wasn't himself in the 4th when he came back. So I obviously had really high hopes for them. And there's a decent chance. I think they started out as underdogs against Texas Tech, but I wouldn't be surprised if that gets close to even. And then they'll probably be favored in the last 3 games after that. So they have a chance to win 10 and make some real noise here at the end of the season.
Yeah, and those final 3 games, you know, after the Texas Tech game, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State, and Kansas and Oklahoma State haven't lived up to the hype that we thought was going to happen before the year. Ryan Konigsberg here with us. You know, the Big 12's been fun. I don't know how many great teams there are, but there are a bunch of good teams, and it's wide open right now. You look at the college football playoff, there's obviously 12 teams now. I could only guarantee one Big 12 team gets in, but how likely do you think it is that maybe you see 2 Big 12 teams get into the college football playoff?
I think there's a decent chance. I really do. You know, right now you have 2 undefeated teams in the Big 12. And so that alone carries some weight. Obviously, from a Colorado perspective, you hope that doesn't hold up because you want, you know, to see the team get a chance to play for a Big 12 championship. But I do wonder, and it's funny because I brought this up about Kansas State last year, and I think Coach Prime actually brought it up too. But I was like, if Coach Prime was Kansas State's coach, they wouldn't have been left out of the playoff. Because of the attention and the ratings and all the stuff that he drives. And I wonder if Colorado can finish this thing out on a, you know, what would be a 6-game winning streak, play some really good football down the stretch, if the committee won't be very, very tempted to give them one of those last couple seats.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting conversation. Ryan Konigsberg here with us. When we get to the Heisman Trophy conversation, like, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. I'll be stunned, obviously, obvious statement here, if Travis Hunter isn't a finalist. It feels like right now it's Jenty against Hunter. That's been the big debate, and you know there's going to be a quarterback, right? It's been Ward. It's been Dylan Gabriel. But there's been a push as of late. You even heard Coach Prime talk about it for Shedeur Sanders, who's been unbelievable. And I think Shedeur is going to either be the first or second quarterback taken in this upcoming NFL draft. But how likely do you think it is that we'll see not only Travis being a Heisman Trophy finalist, but having his teammate Shedeur Sanders join him in New York City in a few weeks?
Yeah, I've been pushing that campaign hard. I think that what Shedeur has been doing has been a little bit overshadowed by Travis. And, you know, Shedeur has been really cool about it, basically just, you know, every week tweeting Travis Hunter for Heisman, Travis Hunter for Heisman. But I think he absolutely belongs in that conversation. And you got to watch the games. Like, this last week, Shedeur had the flu. I mean, he literally had his flu game this last week and, you know, completes over 80% of his passes. Started the game, I think, 15 for 15. He is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most precise passers I've ever seen in college football. And, you know, he's tough. He brings that leadership. I think that if they had just found a way to win that Kansas State game and were undefeated in conference play now, he would be getting a lot more hype. But, you know, it's crazy the difference between the people who know and have watched him and what they think of him and then the people who just want to, you know, want to hate on him. But that dude is really, really special. And as great as Travis is, and I think Travis should win the Heisman Trophy, it absolutely has to be acknowledged that Shedeur is who carries this team. And, you know, without him, I don't know where they would be, but it would not be where they are now.
So since you cover this story on a daily basis, for people that are doubting Shedeur Sanders, what would you say to them? Who is the Shedeur Sanders that you know?
First and foremost, a person who lives and breathes the game. He doesn't go out and party. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He just is about football 24/7. And, you know, Coach Prime will tell you that of all of the kids, he spent the most time around him as a child. He's kind of the most like him. And when it comes to that, like, drive for football, that absolute passion for the game, he's second to none. And that goes into his preparation. I've never been around a college quarterback who prepares the way that he does. truly preparing, you know, the way that professional quarterbacks are preparing on a weekly basis. He obviously has had the chance to be around some of the great ones, and he approaches it every week that way. And it's just rare for a guy to watch film and understand it. And that translates to his game on the field, which is first and foremost, I think his ability to process and his ability to understand what he's looking at on the other side is why he's able to start a game with 15 consecutive completions, because he knows what you're doing before you do it. Again, kind of a rare trait for college quarterbacks. Then, you know, he's so precise with the football. I was thinking about this, you know, just this morning, like, you never see Travis Hunter really make a crazy catch on offense. And it's because Shador always puts the ball in the right spot. And that goes for all these wide receivers. So it's that preparation, it's his precision, and then, you know, all the intangibles. People want to say he's not a leader. You know, watch the videos of the sidelines. He's rallying those guys every single time, getting them around him, telling them what to do, what they're going to do. The toughness, all of it, man. It's to me, he's the best quarterback that I've seen in college. I've obviously spent my whole life around Colorado, but there's been some good quarterbacks come through here. And he's truly, truly special. I think he should absolutely be the number one quarterback taken in the draft.
Wrapping up with Ryan Konigsberg, I just want to get your thoughts on two more things. Number one, right, when you bring in all this new talent and right, how much they had to overcome in really quickly rebuilding this program, you know, it takes time to gel. You know, North Dakota State wasn't a pretty performance this year. They still won. Obviously, you know, the first half against Nebraska was miserable for a Colorado football fan. What did you see really change with this team from where they were after the Nebraska game to where we see them in present day already being bowl eligible?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it starts going back to the offseason. And Coach Prime put a massive emphasis on team chemistry and team bonding. He made a rule that you can't have your phones at the lunch table, you know, during the week. You know, they did like chemistry retreats up in the mountains, you know, just getting this team to grow closer together. And I think that's the biggest difference from last year. Last year, they had a heartbreaking loss against Stanford that would have given them their fifth win. And I think really the loss when they blew a huge lead derailed the rest of the season. And that kind of pulled them apart. And you started seeing guys point fingers or wonder, why is he getting more playing time than me? You know, stuff that happens in college football. This year's team, after that Nebraska loss, got closer together. And I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, good teams and bad teams, is adversity can pull you apart or it could bring you together. And this team absolutely just, you know, hunkered down and said, hey, we got Colorado State. Like, there's no time to, like, sulk or point fingers or anything. We have another rivalry game coming up. And they went out there and obviously, you know, smacked Colorado State around and just built off of that momentum. And man, if they were just able to hold that lead late in that Kansas State game, yeah, you know, we could be talking about something really special happening right now.
All right, I'll end you on this. Ryan Konigsberg is here with us, does a great job, hosts the DMVR Bus podcast. If you want to, like, hear things and watch things about Colorado football, he is the place to go to. Make sure you check him out on all of his socials. When it comes to Coach Prime's future, I'm not even bringing up the NFL. I don't think he's going to the NFL. But I was someone, when he's at Jackson State, that was like, he should be able to go to the SEC right away. We know Travis Hunter's going to be leaving. We know Shedeur Sanders is going to be leaving. For people that obviously are Colorado fans, they have that fear. How much longer is Coach Prime going to be here? Just what's your feel on that when another school could come calling and maybe take him away from what's going on in Colorado right now, which is so special?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously never know exactly what's going to happen, but I'll say this. Coach Prime is really, really happy in Colorado. Colorado has completely embraced him. He's embraced the state. He, you know, never stops talking about how much he loves it here. And on top of that, the way that they are recruiting freshmen and beyond for next season, I think is a great sign for Colorado fans that it's not – he's not viewing this as a short-term thing. You know, even Travis Hunter was asked by RG3 recently, like, would you like Coach Prime to be your coach in the NFL? And he just said, nah, he's home. This is home for him now. And so I don't know how long Coach Prime envisions himself coaching at the college level, but I would put a pretty good number on it that as long as he's coaching at the college level, it will be at Colorado. Maybe he determines after a couple of years away from his kids when they're, you know, balling out in the NFL that, hey, I want to just, you know, be able to go travel around and watch Shador play or watch Travis or Shiloh play. But I think if he's going to be coaching in college football, it's going to be at Colorado.
Like, what is, I heard what you just said, but number wise, like him being back next year, is like as high as 95%? You're going 100%? Like, what's the number?
Yeah, I would put it over 90%. I think it was something would have to change. Something drastic would have to happen for him to not be coaching at Colorado this year, next year.
He is Ryan Konigsberg. Does a great job. Once again, host of DNVR Bus Podcast. Appreciate you jumping on board. Thanks so much for doing this.
Appreciate you. Have a good one, man.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.